Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on education when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong, very wrong, with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we find the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they teach the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national consciousness. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments and even put 22 principles of that law back into our Constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what the penalty to a broken law is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call it the law of Moses or the law of God or the common law or natural law or karma or something else, it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call right now to order yours. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time we took a look at what's wrong with public school. Now let's take a look at what do we do to solve the problem. If you've got a child in public school, you're dissatisfied with the education that he's receiving, or you're dissatisfied with the false education that he's receiving, what do you do to change it? Well, I've got a program here that I used in order to solve my problem. The general conception is that we've got to join the political process and vote for Republicans and Democrats to clean up the schools and to fix the problem. If you're waiting for that problem to be solved by politicians, you need to understand that the politicians are the people that caused the problem to start with. It's not very likely that you're going to find morality in a whorehouse. So when you find yourself in a whorehouse, you need to find the door to get out. The public school system is a whorehouse, nothing more, nothing less. You need to figure out how to get the hell out of here. And then what are we going to do to replace it? It's a whole lot easier to do something or do away with something than it is to replace it with something that's good and beneficial. Now, we're going to get rid of this junk car that we're driving. What are you going to replace it with? You know, if you're driving a lemon to start with, you must have bought it. Therefore, you didn't know how to buy a car without buying the lemon. So you can get rid of the lemon, but you need to learn how to replace the lemon with something that's good. So let me start off by showing you that there are a number of successful and famous people who have been homeschooled. The general conception is that homeschool is for freaks, that there's a bunch of screwballs out there in the world, and nobody's ever heard of them. They never succeed in life, these people that are homeschooled, and they're probably out here working in menial jobs, digging ditches or something, and that's far, far, far from the truth. First of all, here's a list of 50 of some of the most famous people in history who have been homeschooled, past and present. John Adams, second president of the United States. Joseph Pulitzer. Have you ever heard of the Pulitzer Prize? Well, Joseph Pulitzer was homeschooled. Ansel Adams, Robert Frost, Irving Berlin, Whoopi Goldberg, Jennifer Love Hewitt. So I'm going to put a mark by Jennifer Love Hewitt. I never heard of her. John Adams, Joseph Pulitzer, Ansel Adams, Robert Frost, Irving Berlin, Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah, I've heard of them. Jennifer Love Hewitt. I don't know who that is. Next, the Hanson Singers. Never heard of them. William F. Buckley, Jr. Yeah, I've heard of William Buckley. Jason Taylor of the NFL. I never heard of Jason Taylor, but he was homeschooled, along with Jennifer Love Hewitt and the Hanson Singers. Todd Ludwig. Never heard of him. I don't know who he is. Andrew Carnegie was the richest man in the world in 1900 when he sold his steelworks to United States Steel. He sold it to J.P. Morgan, and Morgan renamed it United States Steel. Andrew Carnegie, I've heard of him. Charlie Chaplin, yeah, I've heard of him. Agatha Christie, Winston Churchill, Charles Dickens, Thomas Edison, Benjamin Franklin, Florence Nightingale, Woodrow Wilson, the Wright brothers, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Alexander Graham Bell, Pearl Buck. Now, Pearl Buck isn't that well known, at least in my view. I never read one of her books, but Pearl Buck was a writer back in the 1920s and 30s. How about General George S. Patton? Maybe you've heard that name. Joan of Arc, Leonardo da Vinci, Wolfgang Mozart, Felix Mendelssohn, Claude Monet. Claude Monet isn't very well known. I'll put a check by his name. William Penn, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Robert E. Lee, General Douglas MacArthur, C.S. Lewis, Hans Christian Andersen, Mark Twain, George Washington, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, John Paul Jones, Venus Williams. Well, now, I wouldn't know too much about Venus or Serena Williams, except that they're in the news every once in a while. They're pretty famous black tennis players. Dakota Fanning, never heard of her, or him. And Jenna Malone, never heard of Jenna Malone. Then there's somebody in here called Jeannie Chansey and Josh Lane, never heard of her. Jeannie Chansey, never heard of her. Alisa Bucher and Liz Kroboth. I'll check by their names. I don't know who they are. Probably singers, dancers, movie stars, or somebody on that in that order. Here, though, are 50 of some of the most famous names. You know, Winston Churchill was no slouch. General MacArthur and General Patton, homeschooled, not exactly slouches in the military. Now, these famous people, Henry Ford, there's a lot of others. You know, Henry Ford was homeschooled also. I don't know why his name wasn't on here, but for some reason, this author didn't put the name down. Homeschool has the best academic record and produces the highest academic achievement in the United States. I submit that it probably would do the same, or does do the same, in Australia, New Zealand, and Western Europe. It was designed by God Himself that you educate your children at home in your own home school. Put another way, why should I have to pay to educate your child? Or if you think that's too selfish, let me ask you this. Why in the world would you, or why do you believe that you need to pay to educate my child? Why do you want to educate my child? Now, there are a lot of people out there who do want to educate my child, and they want to educate my child to their moral values, to their political values, to their ideology. They have an agenda. They're creating a new world order. They're creating order out of chaos. I don't have that same agenda. I don't really care to educate your child to my political or moral standards. But if you object to the political, the moral, the economic, or the standards that are being taught to your child, then why don't you make a meaningful change? Listen to what God has to say in the scripture about education. He has seven laws, seven statutes in here that deal with education. The Bible is a book of education. God, the creator, the guy that came out to Mount Sinai, he's a great educator. He stood up on top of the mountain. He says, let me educate you to the law. In fact, the primary goal in the scripture is to educate everyone with a legal degree, a legal education. The most important topic in life is law. Not medicine, not engineering, not geology, not oil. It's law. So God comes along and he says, you know, everybody needs a law school education. They need a law degree. You need a degree in law, which is what we do here at the law school. We start off and we say, what is the purpose in life? Why do you need to be educated, and what education do you need? Do you need to be educated in mathematics? Well, not if you're a writer and you're not going to count, but if you're going to be an accountant, you probably need a little mathematics. If you're going to be a physicist, you know, you probably need some math. But the primary goal in life is eternal life, with a little frosting on the cake called rulership over the nations. In order for you to do that, you've got to have a legal education. Rulership requires education in law. You want to be a president, you want to be a senator, a representative, you want to be a judge. Anytime you get into politics, you're into law. And that's the objective of politics. That's why the legislators are sitting in the Congress, so that they can enact law. What they're trying to do is to override the laws of the scripture, which God told us, don't do that. I've given you a complete law, don't add to it, and don't take away from it. Of course, he didn't know what he was talking about, so we're very fortunate that we have men and women, you know, like Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and Ted Kennedy, to go to Washington and to fix God's mistakes. Isn't that just real special? Well, here's what God had to say about education. He starts off in Exodus 18, verse 20. He says, and you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and you shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. In Exodus 24:12, he goes on to say, "And the Eternal said to Moses, you come up unto me into the mount, and to be there, and I'll give you tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that you may teach them." In Leviticus 10:11, "And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Eternal has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." In Leviticus 14:54-57, he says, "This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy." So the Bible contains medicine as well as law. It also contains geography, physics, science, the atomic theory, the origin of mass and matter. You know, the Bible is quite a book on science. In Deuteronomy 4:1-24, he says, "Now hearken therefore, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Eternal your God, the God of your fathers, gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, and neither shall you diminish aught from it. Your eyes have seen what the Eternal did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal, the Eternal your God has destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto the Eternal your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Eternal my God commanded me that you should do so in the land wherein you go in to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, because this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." You know, when we practiced the Ten Commandments, we were a nation of wise and understanding people. Today, our educational system is so poor that the Japanese, when they came over here, said, "There isn't anything in the American educational system that we would want to emulate in Japan. Nothing." It hasn't always been that way, but it's that way today. And that's because our educational system is teaching fairy tales and fantasies. It doesn't teach the truth. It doesn't teach reality. "Now, for what nation is there so great, who has God so nigh unto them, as the Eternal our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all of this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself, and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But you teach them to your sons, and teach them to your sons' sons. Especially the day that you stood before the Eternal your God in Horeb, when the Eternal said unto me, you gather me the people together, and I'll make them to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood unto the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness, and the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the Eternal. You heard the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Eternal commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it." You know, we got this law directly from God himself, right off the mountain, live and direct, first person. Now, we've replaced the 10 commandments with the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. You certainly do have a right to do that. You certainly have the power to elect representatives and senators to make your law. And God himself has stood aside and said, "Well, if that's what you want to do, get after it." But he told you plainly in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you're making a big, bad, dumb mistake. If you think Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer are so damn smart that they can make your law for you, you get after it. But it's going to burn you in the butt in the final analysis. All right, now that's what we got from our God. Now this is education coming right from the top source. Now, there was a time in America when we turned out some pretty spectacular people. George Patton was a pretty spectacular general, as was General MacArthur. Now, take a look at the generals that you have running the war in Iraq. Take a look at the caliber of the generals who are now leading you into battle, a losing war in Iraq, a losing war in Afghanistan, as compared to the winning generals in World War II. Now, just take a look at the results that you get, and then ask yourself, well, is that what I want? The generals and the people coming out of West Point today are the people who are educated in material philosophy. They're educated in evolution. They're educated in the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. What do you think of it? How do you like it? Hey, if this is what you want, you've arrived. If it isn't what you want, there's a cause for it. This is the opposite. This is a little different. Now, God told you what you could expect in war. As long as we're talking about war, I'll flip over here to Leviticus 26. And he said, "One of the benefits that you're going to get is 5 of you shall chase 100, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. Because I'll have respect unto you, and I'll make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. You practice my 10 commandments, and when we go to war, we'll win. Now, if you don't practice my 10 commandments, you can go to war, and you will be chased by your enemies, and you will flee at the sound of a falling leaf." Let me show you that one. Over here in Leviticus 26, same chapter. After you get past verse 13, he says, "But if you will not hearken unto me, and if you will not do all of these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you will not do all of my commandments, but that you break my covenant," he says, "upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts, into the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaking leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee, as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursues." Boys and girls, we now have what our president describes for us, the war on terror. There is no one chasing us, and we are terrified. We've created a Homeland Security agency that costs $37 billion a year, headed by a Mossad operative, and we have the Patriot Act. We have lost our Bill of Rights, and we're just sitting over here, oh, so fearful. Where in the hell did this fear come from? Osama bin Laden. You're afraid? You're afraid of this pagan from halfway around the world? What happened to your God? Why doesn't your God fight your battles for you anymore? Why can't you win? Why can't you beat a bunch of upstarts over here in Iraq? Think about this. America, the preeminent military force in the world, they tell us every night on the news, well, we can't get a military solution over here. Excuse me. When Joshua was the general in charge of our armies, after we left Egypt and we came into the Promised Land, with God working on our side, we defeated every enemy every time. Now we can't beat a bunch of half-starved, half-naked Bedouins in the desert, for crying out loud. And that's because our God isn't working for us. In fact, I think our God is working against us. I just thought I'd throw that out for your consideration. Time was when we had generals that could win, and win every time. That's not what we're seeing today. Now, if you want to put God into your school, if you want to put real education into your school, then why don't you spend $550 a year in addition to your property taxes that you have to pay anyway? If you didn't have any children, you'd have to pay the property tax. And if you do have children, it'll cost you about $550 per year per child to educate your child in a homeschool program. And if you've got five children, well, then it's going to cost you $3,000 a year. Well, I can't afford that. Well, then you shouldn't have had five children. You shouldn't have more children than you can educate, that you can feed, clothe, house, and take care of. That's what responsibility is all about. Some of us make more money than others. But just because I make more money than you doesn't mean that I need to educate your children. Besides that, how do you know that you would like your children educated to my moral standards? I mean, if you don't like the moral standards that are in your public school today, what makes you think that my moral standards are any better than that? If you're a Lutheran, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, whatever, you know, Muslim, and you've got standards and morals and so on, one of the things that the Muslims complain about is the immorality of Western culture. Boy, I can't blame them. I'm offended by the morality of Western culture. So you're not the only people out there that despise this filth and perversity that we see coming out of Hollywood, television, and our government. What are we going to do to change it? I cannot change the public school system of America. The majority of people love it. The majority of people love the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto. For instance, the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for free education for all children in public school. The majority of Americans agree with that principle, and they want to educate their children in public school. Well, why does George Gordon have the right to come along and change the majority's opinion? I don't, and I don't want to. I just object to the majority of Americans teaching my children their filth and perversity. And lo and behold, there's a solution to my problem. I educate my child in my home school to my standards and my moral beliefs. And that way, all of you Mormons, Muslims, Catholics, and Protestants, and Jews, you don't offend me in the slightest. You don't affect me. You don't offend me. And you people can fight and argue over what the curriculum should be in the public school, because I've got my own curriculum. I take it out of the scripture, or I buy my own textbooks. I educate my own child to the standards that I want. It costs me $550 a year. I think it's well worth the $550. In fact, if you're a smoker, you know, a lot of times people will call me and they'll say, well, I don't know, it's a lot of money, I don't know if I can afford that. Well, cigarettes are $3 a pack. So if you take 365 days times $3, that's $1,095. If you'd quit smoking, sucker, you could educate two kids right there. Now, a six-pack of beer cost, the last time I saw here, was about $4. It's about 50 cents a can, round numbers, $3. $4, something like that. Cheap beer, Milwaukee, old Milwaukee, I think it's 50 cents. But if you get Bud, I think it's going to cost you $4. So let's just take $3 for a six-pack, and $3 times. And how many six-packs a week do you drink, partner? Is it two? Well, that's $6 a week. So $6 a week times 52 weeks is $312. That's half of the curriculum for a child in a home school. So if you'd quit drinking beer and quit smoking Marlboros, you could educate 2.5 kids. See, what else is there that we could cut out? You know, just start thinking here a little bit, and I'll bet you that if it was important enough, you know, it's obvious that smoking and drinking beer is more important than your child's education. If you're sending your kid to public school, it's more than obvious. The gas in the car, money for movies and money for the beer and the cigarettes and so on is more important than your child's education, at least in the case of most Americans. I would suggest, number two, that you put God back in your child's classroom. And the place to put God back in your child's classroom is in your own private home school. Number three, put prayer back into your child's life and into your child's classroom. And that's in your home school. Number four, put morality back in your child's classroom. Put your morality into your classroom, into your child's mind. Number five, put premarital sexual abstinence back in your child's classroom, in your home school. Number six, teach your child that sex belongs in marriage, not in the back seat of Johnny's car. Number seven, furnish your child with moral guidance in a home school in place of the condoms that they're receiving in public school. Number eight, furnish your child with good moral environment in your home school in place of an abortion. Number nine, teach your children responsibility and responsible behavior in place of sexual relations among adolescents. Number 10, teach your own children in your own home school your morals, your values, and stop employing pedophiles and sodomites to teach your children pedophile and sodomite values and morals. I know this is a wild new concept. Stick with me and we'll have more. I've got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, because most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. However, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about education, particularly homeschool. Now, last night I brought up what's wrong with public school, and I cited to you 60 things that I see that's wrong with public school. And we all send our children to public school with a lunch bucket under their arm to encourage the education that we all despise. It sounds like insanity to me that you'd send your child to a public school, pack his lunch for him so he won't get hungry, so he can sit there and listen to the lies and perversion that are being funneled into his unsuspecting mind. Now, we've all done that, and I would contend that it's time that we stop, and the place to stop is with the public school system, and the place to start is with your own home school system. Now, in most parochial schools, they have an agenda. You know, if you're a Catholic and you send your child to a Catholic parochial school, that school has an agenda. Their agenda is to turn all of those students into card-carrying and practicing Catholics. and they probably have a pretty good success rate. Now, personally, I'm not a Catholic, and I'm not opposed to Catholics educating their children in Catholic school, but I'm opposed to Catholic doctrine and philosophy. And if I was for it, I'd be a Catholic, wouldn't I? And so I don't educate my children in Catholic school because I don't agree with and I don't participate in that philosophy. So I took a look around and I said, well, would I want to educate them then in the Baptist school? And I said, no, I don't agree with them either. How about the Lutherans? Nope, I don't agree with them either. How about the Mormons? Nope, I don't agree with them either. Well, how about a military school? No, sir, I don't agree with them either. And so I took a look around and I said, you know, I can't find any parochial schools out here that I agree with any more than I do with public school. In fact, most parochial schools teach evolution, which is a damn lie, as Mark Twain would put it, in their schools because they use those same textbooks. And they're always out here, you know, everybody, the religious people, they're apologizing for God and all of his mistakes and all of his shortcomings and all of his inadequacies. I'm not sure that God has any shortcomings or inadequacies. You know, just my own personal opinion, but I didn't see all of these shortcomings and inadequacies that I've heard attributed to God. You know, like the world is flat, and the Catholics, you know, they came out and they said, well, the world is flat. And if you don't believe that, you're not a good Catholic. And if you don't believe it, we'll need to kill you and purge your soul from this demon and save your soul from hell. Or, you know, these people come up with a lot of ideas. Later on, we found out that the world indeed is not flat, it's round. And then we come to the conclusion, well, we have to apologize for God. No, 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 you Catholics need to apologize for the Pope. You don't need to apologize for God. He never said the world was flat. He said the world's round. Twice in the Scripture. The Scripture is full of science. The problem is that the religious guys run around making claims. They claim, well, we represent God. And then they make these claims that we later find out are false. And then, of course, we have to come around and believe that, well, we've just got to apologize for God now because he made these mistakes. Oh, no, God didn't make any mistakes. It was the preachers that made the mistakes. Preachers who are lying, false prophets, and don't represent the God of the Bible anyway. Most of these preachers, about 330,000 preachers out here in the United States, round numbers, round them off, 350,000. Out of those 350,000 of them, if there's 10 that represents the God of the Bible, I would be surprised. 10 out of 350,000. If there's 10 that actually teach what the Scripture teaches, teach the law of God, teach the Ten Commandments, teach creation, teach Noah's flood, teach, you know, the truth about the Grand Canyon instead of the fairy tales that are being funneled into your kids' heads. If there's 10, I would be surprised. I would challenge you, can you name those 10? Name 10. Now, it is true that many preachers teach a little bit of truth. I was watching Kent Hovind up here the other day. This guy, Kent Hovind, he's probably forgot more about evolution and special creation than I'm ever going to know. And every time I put on his tapes, I take a yellow pad up there and I try to take notes. This guy spews out more facts and figures and information off the top of his head than I can write down. I'll have to put it on pause and then sit there and copy down, you know, what's being written on the screen up there. There's another guy named Carl Baugh. I think he forgot more about evolution and special creation than I'll ever know also. But that being the case, there are some people out there that have some truth. And then they mix that truth with a little error, sometimes with a lot of error. And then they come across over here as preachers, you know, and we're going to teach you this and that and other thing. Then when you go to the Bible and you read it, you find out that, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And that's what I've pointed out to you many times, that in education, it drives me wild. I'm tearing my hair out. You get this truth and error. Students will come in here and they've got a little truth. And sometimes they leave the law school and they call me on the telephone and they say, well, I've heard of this real neat idea. And I said, well, did you look at lesson 37? Did you see where the Supreme Court said that they're not going to buy into that? And then they'll say, but yes, but. And I sit there and say, well, you know, I'm not the Supreme Court, and they've already settled that issue. Whether it's right or wrong, that's the way it is. So I try to report facts, and these people are trying to participate in and practice fantasies, like the income tax fantasy. People want to go out and have a lot of income, and then they don't want to pay the income tax. My solution to that is, if you don't want to pay the income tax, don't have any income. So it's a wild idea. Crazy. If you don't like the property tax, don't own any property. See how simple that is? So I didn't like the income tax, and so I stopped having income. Some guy writes me a letter and says, how do you live? And the answer is, I live very well, thank you. Without income. There was life before income. I contend there'll be life after income. You don't need income to live. You don't need income to be prosperous. You don't need income to have property. It certainly is a modality whereby a lot of people own a lot of property and a lot of people make a lot of money by having a lot of income. I don't deny that. My conclusion was, well, I didn't like the income tax. I didn't like the 1040 form. I didn't like the government button into my business. And I took a look at it and said, you know, one day I woke up and I said, you know, I think I'll stop having income. And when I stopped having income and I started practicing increase, the Bible teaches, you know, we should be dealing in property and increase, and that we should tithe on that increase instead of practicing profit and gain through income and paying an income tax on that income. I mean, it's just like night and day. It's just like up and down. exact opposites. So I shifted over. I started practicing the other side. It worked out like a shot. I'd like to suggest the same thing. If you're not happy with public school, why don't you shift over to God's system of education called the home school? God never told you to send your kid over here to some religious guru over here to have your religious guru's morals, beliefs, and practices inculcated into your child's brain. He told you to do that, and he said, do it with my Ten Commandments and my statutes and my judgments, and you educate your child to my standards and my morality. Then in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, he said, well, okay, if you disagree with me, well, why don't you go ahead and disagree with me and do whatever the hell you want? And then there's a consequence that comes from that. And then if that's what you want to do, get after it. But he said it's going to lead to a no good end. Now let's take a look at some more of these standards that I believe we should follow and get the hell out of the public schools. Number 11, why don't you teach the science of the Bible in place of the evolutionary fairy tales of the public school system to your children? I know it's kind of wild. I'm talking about real science. I'm talking about the science, which is the definition of science is knowledge. Why don't you teach your child the knowledge of science from the scripture instead of the theories, hypotheses, and the political agenda of the National Education Association? That's a wild new idea. Number 12, teach the Constitution to your children in place of communism. Instead of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, why don't you start with the 10 principles of the Bill of Rights, you know, like freedom of speech, freedom of, property, freedom to be secure in your person, houses, papers, and effects. I mean, ideas that our founding fathers came up with back in 1787 that they got out of, guess where? The Bible. 22 principles of law contained in the Ten Commandments are placed into our federal constitution. Now, that's here in America. I can't speak for the rest of you people, but here in America, we have 22 principles of the Ten Commandments put into our constitution. Our founding fathers did not understand separation of church and state at all. The men who wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights did not understand separation of church and state. Because if they had, they would have left out those 22 principles of law from the Ten Commandments out of our Constitution, which would have saved us a lot of time, effort, and energy when we got down to Roe versus Wade. Now, number 13, why don't you teach your child the Bill of Rights instead of socialism? Number 14, why don't you put the Ten Commandments into your homeschool classroom and throw out the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto? Instead of teaching your children paper money, the income tax and Social Security, that is the fifth plank, central banks, eighth plank, Social Security, second plank, the income tax, instead of teaching your children those three principles of the Communist Manifesto, why don't you teach your children property and property rights and just weights and balances and hard money and a gold and silver coin instead of paper money? Again, if you're in favor of paper money, banks, income tax, and Social Security, hell, leave your kid in the public school. You can't find a better place to teach him those goals, those principles, those philosophies. Number 15, if you don't want to educate a child, don't have one. If you don't want to educate your own kid, don't have any children. Number 16, if you've got a child and you don't want to educate the child, then put the child in some parochial or private school. Select one. Hell, if you don't want to educate him, at least to put him in a Catholic school or a Lutheran school, any kind of a, it doesn't have to be religious. Put him in a military school. You know, at least teach the kid that there's values out there beside laying the neighbor girl in the back of your back seat of your car or smoking dope or, the licentiousness that you see going on that they learn in the public schools, rape, robbery, and assault. Number 17, follow these 16 steps, and your home school will have none of these problems. You'll have no rape, no robbery, no assault. You'll have no burglary, arson, or bombings. You'll have no murder, suicide, absenteeism, or vandalism. You'll have no extortion, drug abuse, or alcohol abuse. You'll have no gang warfare, teen pregnancy, abortion, or venereal disease. In your school, you can have a school that's free from these top 17 problems in public schools today by just opening up your own home school and teach your values, teach your morals. Number 18, 40% of children in public school today fear for their safety in public school. You can eliminate that fear with your own home school. Number 19, you can put a stop to your children carrying weapons to school in your own home school. Now, I always encouraged my daughter to carry a gun in our home school. In fact, one of the classes in our home school was the Second Amendment to our Constitution, that is to keep and bear arms. So I taught my daughter how to keep and bear arms. I taught her how to shoot. I taught her how to clean the gun, how to carry the gun, and I taught her how to kill people with the gun. My daughter's 19 years old. She's never been raped. I don't think that there's very many people in America that could rape my daughter. I want to tell you that she packs heat and she knows how to use it. If you think you can rape her, get after it. If you survive it, Boy, you're going to be surprising. I think that every woman in America should be packing heat. I think that in that college back in Virginia, I forgot what it was now, but there was some deranged guy. They said he was deranged. I don't know, demon-possessed or whatever. He came in there on the college campus, and he started shooting people. I've forgotten how many he killed, 10, 15, 20. I killed a bunch. What do you think would have happened on that college campus if every teacher in the college was carrying a gun? And I want to pass this on to you. I live in a little rural county out here. It's called Ozark County, Missouri. I was in court one day, and Judge Moody came in, and he there was some threat. I forgot now what it was. There was some threat, and he came in. And he sat down, and he reached under his left—he's right-handed—reached under his left coat, under his armpit, and he pulled out a .45, and he set it on the bench. And he said, "If there's any outbursts here today, let everybody be informed that this judge is armed and dangerous." And he said, he called court to order, and he went to work. I wouldn't have any objections to a judge carrying a gun, or an airline pilot carrying a gun, or a woman carrying a gun. Oh, that's a wild new idea, but I thought I'd share with you. So, you know, your child will never again be one of the 40% of students who have been the victims of robbery, assault, or larceny in your public school if you teach that child how to carry a gun, how to use it, and then educate them in homeschool. 21, you know, you can eliminate the robbery, larceny, and assault on teachers by yourself in your own homeschool. Teachers are being assaulted by the thousands, tens of thousands, every year in the public school system of America. Eliminate assault on teachers by educating your students in your home school. And number 22, you can single-handedly stop all physical attacks on teachers in your home school. 23, you can reestablish absolutes and rights and wrongs in your home school. 24, you too can alter every aspect of morality, behavior, and achievement in your own home school. 25, you can raise your child's achievement scores, which have been declining in public school since 1963. 26, set a goal of graduating one literate child from your home school in place of the 1 million illiterate children who are graduated from the public school systems every year. 27, teach your child that Mexico borders the United States on the south. Hasn't changed in all of these years. It's still there. Mexico's still down there. It was the same in 1950, 1920, 1850. You know, it's the same today in 2007. And you can teach a child that Mexico is the nation on the south, Canada is the nation on the north. 28, teach your child the names of the six New England states, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. 29, why don't you get real wild after you teach your child the names of the six New England states and teach them to learn the capitals of the six New England states, such as Providence, Boston, Hartford, Montpelier, Concord, and Augusta. Number 30, in contrast to the 45% of the public school children, why don't you teach your child the shape of the United States on a map and then have him or her color it in? Number 31, teach your child that Texas and Alaska are the two largest states in the Union. And while you're at it, why don't you teach your child all 50 states in the Union? And then maybe while you're at it, why don't you teach them all 50 capitals of the 50 states that are in our Union? If you're in Australia, why don't you teach your children the states and the capitals of your country? Why don't you teach them the history and the geography of Australia, New Zealand, or France? You know, that'll help your child get into college more than sex education class. Boys and girls, you do not need to teach your daughter sex. She can figure it all out by herself. Nobody teaches a coon, and they figure it out all by themselves. What your children need is moral teachings, not filth and perversity. Number 32, 80% of public school students can't tell you the names of the two smallest states either. They are Rhode Island with 1,026 square miles and Delaware with 2,057 square miles. And don't forget the state capitals, Providence and Dover. Your child will be in a small minority of 20% of the high school graduates who know that when he or she takes that entry-level test with the New York telephone company. And 33, 67% of public school students, when the Civil War took place, it was 1861 to 1865. You know, that little piece of information will place your homeschool child in the top one-third of the nation's history students. And by the way, number 34, Abraham Lincoln was president during the same 5 years, 1861 to 65. 75% of the public school students did not know that either. And 35, while you're at it, while you're talking about Abraham Lincoln, he was the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. 33% of public school students didn't know that either. 36, give me liberty or give me death, it came from a guy named Patrick Henry. 50% of public school children didn't know that. Be sure to teach your child seven famous words to your child in your home school. Now, the Constitution, number 37, was written in 1787, the Declaration of Independence in 1776. George Washington was commander of the Colonial Army, and the Declaration of Independence was the signal of our break with England. 20 to 50% of public school students didn't know that. Number 38, why don't you employ honest, moral, trustworthy, intelligent, competent teachers in your home school? Hire yourself. You know, you are without a doubt the best school teacher that your child could have. And number 39, Ray's study directly confronts an oft-heard criticism of homeschooling that parents are unqualified to teach and that certified teachers are necessary. The study shows plainly that there's no difference in the scores of students taught by a parent who is or once was a certified teacher and those parents who were never certified. And then finally, number 40. Parents who teach homeschool turn out students at the 87th percentile on average, 60% higher than the public school teachers whose students score at the 50th percentile. Unless, of course, they're minorities who score at the 28th percentile. And remember that these teachers in public schools are qualified, they're certified, they're licensed, they're bonded, and they're insured. But they cannot teach Johnny to read. But you can. And especially if you're not certified, qualified, licensed, bonded, and insured. Because those teachers in homeschool turn out students 60% academically further ahead than the qualified, bonded, licensed, certified teachers in the public schools. Don't you think for a moment that you're not qualified to teach your own child? That's a fable. That's put out by the NEA. That's put out by the brainwashers of the New World Order. Well, that's the story. God himself has given us 7 statutes in the scripture and said, it's up to you to educate your child, not George Gordon or anybody else. It's you. You're the one that ought to do it. And I think if you do it, you'll be a whole lot more satisfied with the outcome of your child than you will be if you entrust your child's education to the pedophiles and the sociopaths and the lunatic fringe that teach in our public schools. All right, we're about out of time, so let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the law hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The law hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these law hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.